Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Amen. We will now sing together Psalm 19, the stanzas 1 and 2. For the Church of all ages, we make confession of our Catholic and undoubted Christian faith. We do so by the words of the Apostles' Creed, and thereafter continue to sing from Psalm 19, the stanzas 4 and 6. Let us all together and each one in his heart say, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. We will now unite in prayer. Almighty, faithful God and Father, we thank and praise you for the rich blessing that we may call upon you in this way as our Father. Lord, we thank you that we may trust your continual fatherly care. And indeed, you have shown it to us already today. You gathered us together this morning and here again this afternoon. We may be gathered together as your children. Every time you gather us together in this way, you assure us the great blessing of salvation through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we may confess you to be our Father and him, your Son, to be our Redeemer and Savior. We thank you that you continually have your word proclaimed to us. Pray that you will now also strengthen us by your Holy Spirit, that we may embrace that word with much thankfulness and apply it in the course of our daily life. Lord, you know our many weaknesses and shortcomings, our sins and failures. We pray that you will forgive us and strengthen us to fight against every temptation. You know that it is the desire of our heart and mind to live to the praise and honor of your great and holy name. Too often, the weakness of our flesh, the temptations of this world, hinder us. Lord, we pray that you will make us strong, work mightily among us as your people, and grant that your glory may sound forth in every way, from our voice, from our hearts, from all the things that we say and do. We pray, O Lord, that you will grant that we indeed may be your children in a very living and upright way. Be not only with us here, be with all your children wherever you are pleased to gather them together. We continue to remember the work of missions and your children that are gathered in other places of this world. Be near to them. For Lord, when we reflect on every blessing that you have given us and consider how some of your children must live, how thankful we ought to be. We pray, Lord, that you will be near to your children who do not receive such blessings as we have received. Remember those that are struggling because of economic difficulties, those who are caught up in political strife, those who do not have sufficient to eat, those who are prevented from being gathered together as your people, where the civil government does not allow such gathering together as we may enjoy week after week. Lord, we pray that you will be near all your children, comfort and encourage them, and grant that they may remain strong and bold. Lord, we pray that you will grant that in every way it may become clear and shown that you are the mighty God, and that even though Satan may attempt to draw us away, that with you is the victory and the power and the glory. We pray that you will hear us and strengthen us through the opening of your word. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. You're now given the opportunity to bring your offerings to the Lord, which this afternoon is for the needy churches of South Africa. After the offertory, we will sing together Psalm 98, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4. This afternoon we will be listening to God's Word as the church has summarized in Lord's Day 9 of the Heidelberg Catechism. In this Lord's Day we confess God to be the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. Before turning to the Catechism and listening to God's Word, we open God's Word and read from Psalm 33. Psalm 33, here we hear God's word. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord brings a council of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. We now turn to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 9. Here we confess from God's word. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father, Almighty Creator of heaven and earth? That the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and all that is in them, and who still upholds and governs them by his eternal counsel and providence, is, for the sake of Christ, his Son, my God and my Father. In him I trust so completely as to have no doubt that he will provide me with all things necessary for body and soul, and will also turn to my good whatever adversity he sends me in this life of sorrow. He's able to do so as Almighty God, and willing also as a faithful Father. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, every Sunday afternoon we confess to believe in God the Father Almighty, creator or maker of heaven and earth. Now that we pay special attention to it in this Lord's Day, we also notice that a direct connection is made to him and to Christ Jesus, our Redeemer and Savior. God is not just any Father and not just simply a Creator, but he is revealed to us as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as his Father, we certainly can expect great compassion and loving care. Great compassion and loving care because the Lord Jesus has shown it and proven it when he came here, when he took the burden of our sins upon himself and died for our sins. It is his Father who sent him to carry out this task that we confess. And this afternoon, your attention may be directed in a particular way to him. As you would already have heard when the previous Lord's Day was explained, this God and Father, along with Christ Jesus, his Son, as well as the Holy Spirit, is one true eternal God. And therefore, we cannot separate these persons of the one God, even though we do distinguish them, because in his word, the Lord himself speaks about these persons in a distinguished and separate way. Nevertheless, it is very striking that when we hear how the Lord had revealed himself to the Apostle John in various visions, as revealed in Revelations, John is shown the throne room of God. And when you read that passage in the beginning of Revelation chapter 1, almost appears a bit confusing. Whom does he see? God? And then we read about the Lamb. A bit confusing, and perhaps understandably confusing, because he is only one God. However, the point for this afternoon is in particular way that there in Revelation, we are told that he, God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in his greatness, is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. But considering the beginning and the end of everything, in view of how the Lord reveals himself in his word, particular attention is given to God the Father. Particular attention is given to him because we're told, for example, that it was God who in the beginning created all things, and then later on in the Gospel of John, that he created everything through Christ. Christ was involved, but God is the creator. And that's why already in the Apostles' Creed, and as we acknowledge in Lord's Day 7, insist that he is the almighty creator of heaven and earth. Your attention is directed to this God and Father whom we may confess and trust. Yes, we confess and trust God to be our Father, for he is the beginning of all things, the continuation of all things, and the end of all things. When saying that he is the beginning of all things, it must be understood in its full and complete way. I'm trying to analyze that. In the end, we must acknowledge that it is so great and wonderful, our minds cannot entirely get around it all. For, first of all, when we consider how the Lord begins to speak to us at the beginning of Scripture, there we are told that in the beginning was God, and God created everything. God created everything. Draw your attention to this particular word, created. For the context of Scripture and the Hebrew language, it is a word particular to God's activity. In Scripture, this word is never used to speak about what humans do. It is a pity. And perhaps it also reflects how man tries to exalt himself to be like God when he speaks about himself as being creative, or creating this, or creating that. Scripture never speaks that way. Distinction is made there between how God created and man makes things. Difference is, man must use material substances to make something. He might collect stones, branches, twigs, trees. He might extract chemicals from them, from these chemicals make other things. He makes them. But, like we are told in Genesis 1, God, who is God from eternity, and even that expression that is used at times in Scripture is difficult for us to grasp. From eternity means that there's no beginning to him. No beginning to him in the sense of he was always there. But we're speaking with these terms, and in this way we are already suggesting that somehow God himself is in the context of a time frame. He is not. As a matter of fact, when we are told at the beginning of Scripture, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, it may be argued that that is where the beginning was. God himself establishing this whole thing of time. God himself doing it. When we think of how God began to create everything, and like we insist in this Lord's Day, because Scripture is clear, God created everything out of nothing. But here too we have a hard time getting our head around understanding what this nothing really is. Generally speaking, when we think of nothing, we think of endless space. But are we correct in thinking that way? Or should we add that it is God who created both time and space? And when putting it that way, right away, we are at a loss of mind because we cannot even think outside the framework of time and space. All our thinking is in a process, one thought after another, already implying time. Very striking. Man has been able to invent a thing like a computer that can figure things out and put questions together very quickly. Very essential in a computer is a clock. Won't work without it. It needs to have this kind of progression sequence. We are told that God is God. He is exalted above all this. He's incomparable, like declared so clearly in the second part of Isaiah chapter 40. He is indeed the Almighty, and like we confess in the Belgic Confession, incomprehensible God. And then what are we told that he did? He created heaven and earth. We are told that first. Created heaven and earth. What do we think of? One view of how the Lord speaks of how he is in heaven, how he also created the angels. That is part of his creating work. Things that we cannot see, he created too. And he created the earth. Striking that that is mentioned first, along with the heavens. In the seventh commandment, that's in the fourth commandment, the Lord continually reminds us of the fact that he created heaven and earth and everything that is in them in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh day. Again, something that we hear declared every Sunday morning. Part of his covenant word. Part of his bond with us as God's particular people to assure us, to remind us that he is this God, the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Create. Genesis 1, we are told that God simply spoke. Let there be light. And there was light. When God spoke in this way, there was nothing there in the complete sense of the word. Nothing. There were no molecules. There was no energy outside of himself in his greatness. Only God was there in the greatness and majesty of his three persons. There was no compulsion by which the Lord was compelled to create anything. There was no outside force. God alone. And he spoke in this way. Let there be light. Strikingly, and it is in this context that the Lord makes it clear to us that he creates and makes things in this way. The sun and the stars were not yet there. They were created on the fourth day. So when God said, let there be light, it must be that energy, that power, light. and also strikingly, that God called the light day and the darkness he called night, and so it was day and night, evening and morning, one day. God, in his glorious and majestic way, establishing it all so wonderfully. And therefore, we have been created as well in the context of this world. Must be very careful in how we examine and research things. It is God who has created the physics and the molecules. And if you break down the molecules and the atoms, electrons and this energy, neutrons, protons, God made it all. God made it to work the way it does. We too quickly and readily speak about nature, natural things, and indeed we may speak that way, but only in the recognition that it is God who was in the beginning and established it all. Especially today, when the Lord has given mankind the ability to search out the regularity, the consistencies that God maintains in his creation, that we must be very careful to maintain and insist. God made it all in this way. It is he. And the more we contemplate, the more we research, and the more we study, the more we end up standing at awe at God's greatness. For today, various suggestions are made about stars being so far away. Yes, measured in light years, which is a measurement, it takes for light to travel, for example, from a star to the earth so that we can see it. Just how these calculations are made need not be examined here. But these kind of calculations are being continually made, and we may be impressed with those kind of calculations. But again, the question then remains, in what context are they made? How are they done? Are they done in a questioning way? I doubt that God has created something like this in 1, 2, 3, 6 days. Could never have done it this way because that star is so many thousand light years away. Are all the calculations correct? Maybe we've made a mistake here or there, who knows? But if God creates, and God simply speaks, let there be a sun, let there be a moon, let there be a star, in his speaking, in his powerful way, can he not see to it that along with this creation, the light shines here on this earth immediately? Indeed, when we insist, like the Lord teaches, already by using the word create, when speaking about the kind of work that he only is capable of doing that we can never attain to. For think of how we have read in Psalm 33. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. The world is therefore told to stand in awe of him. That indeed becomes the question concerning this confession. Do we really know and appreciate the greatness of the Lord God? Do we really? That he is the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth? That he simply spoke and brought everything that exists into existence? Indeed, it goes beyond our comprehension. How did God do it? This contest, let me also remind you of how Job, and you know the history of Job, how the Lord allowed Satan to tempt him and cause him misery and harm him. Then all his friends came and reasoned with him concerning God, who he is in his righteousness, truth, holiness. Job too struggled concerning understanding him. And in the end, when the Lord appears to Job in the whirlwind, the Lord starts asking Job various questions. Job, were you there when I created the earth, when I laid its foundations? Were you there? Were you there when I created the mountain goat and put it in its mind, its seasons, so that it received young? Were you there, Job? Tell me if you can give counsel and direction, if you have any understanding. And when the Lord began to question Job in this way, what did he do? He put his hand on his mouth. Couldn't say anything anymore. No reply. Today, mankind might think himself to be very wise and very understanding in all the research that he has done. But when questioned by the Lord God, where will you stand? And how quickly must you put your hand in front of your mouth? Especially when, out of unbelief, that kind of intercellular and space research continues. Whenever you read the motivation for that kind of research, including building big telescopes that can look far into the sky, even putting telescopes on a satellite and then via computer, is it not all done in the context of wanting to discover how this world became and came about? Was it not originally also in the context of what is the purpose of this life? Why are we here? And is it not also so sad how those who have denied the Lord God so quickly and readily suggest that we are here on this earth just by chance, moving around in this vast empty space? Is there any other living thing? Well, we haven't been able to discover it yet. All these attempts, beloved, reflect unbelief and also shows human rebellion. We don't want to listen and hear what the Lord has spoken in his word. Having said that, the nagging question may rise in our hearts and minds. How then is it that man has become that way? God is the mighty God of heaven and earth. Could he not have prevented a sin from taking place? And indeed he could have. But he didn't. Just why not? Again, let us be careful with our questioning God in his greatness and majesty. Indication in Scripture that God created angels and mankind, everything in a perfect way. And yet when he created them with the ability and with the desire that they would honor him. Think of how the psalm that we read this afternoon begins. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Was that not God's motivation? That he was looking for praise, for glory, for honor. And yes, in his desire to receive it, he did allow, I think we can put it that way, allow the possibility of rebellion and turning away. There, very quickly, beginning of this history, the serpent, the fallen angel, tempting Eve. Again, we may have all kinds of questions. Could God not have restrained and prevented this? He could have. But he decided not to. In his decision not to, he also makes it very clear in his word. He doesn't want it. He doesn't like it. Possibility. That's why we speak about allowance, possibility. Scripture also speaks about the mystery of lawlessness in this context. For this too is something about God that we cannot fully get our head around. But what is faith? Is faith not, and do we not begin with the Apostles' Creed to confess this way, I believe in God the Father, Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. And in a way we might say that is where we stop, in the sense of standing at awe, acknowledging and confessing what God says without our human discoveries, without our being able to analyze everything in such a way, yes, this must be true. Without our extra biblical or scriptural conclusions, like from mathematics and physics and geography and so forth, we confess he is the Almighty God, that God who is the beginning of all things, God speaking about himself that way. Remains important, beloved, the context of how the Lord did not abandon this earth, even after we have rebelled against him, but that he maintains it. Our second point. The continuation. Psalm 138, we are taught to sing about this Lord God who does not abandon the work of his hands. One time there was an Old Testament professor who suggested that phrase of Psalm 138 could be considered The central theme of all Scripture. God has not given up on his work of creation, even though man has become rebellious, even though there was rebellion there in heaven itself, where God lives, the fallen angels. But God still maintains and upholds it all. Also becomes so evident in the psalm that we read this afternoon, where we are there not only told about how God created everything by the word of his mouth, but how the Lord brings a council of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The council of the nations. What is that? Well, that includes their wisdom, their suggestion, their understanding, their plans. We should do this thing this way and that way because, well, today, in the context of living in God's creation, we may think of how throughout the world there is now so much emphasis and concern expressed about global warming. The Council of the Nations is, let's cool things down. Let's restrict the CO2, the exhaust from the vehicles. Let us be very careful, otherwise this earth cannot be sustained that much longer. When the nations start speaking in this way, right away some questions arise in your mind. If we are all here by chance, and fate just happened to be, then why be so worried about a next generation no longer existing? There might be some other human or creature existence in some other planet far away. Big deal. What is the purpose? Why? Why try to defend and uphold life any longer? Why is it so important that life continues on this earth then? Why? Really? The Council of the Nations. When you contemplate on it, it is really sad. And again, the problem is, it's entirely focused away from true knowledge, from the knowledge of the one true eternal God who created everything in the beginning. Indeed, the Lord has made us stewards on this earth. And when confessing him, we do become more careful concerning how we plow our fields and sow our seed. But we do it in an entirely different kind of context. We do it with different kind of motivation as well. We do it with the motivation of preserving the beautiful life that the Lord continues to grant to us. We acknowledge and recognize that even though there has been rebellion and sin, the Lord has not abandoned the work of his hands, but he promised forgiveness and salvation through the blood of his Son. Again, keep in mind that we are busy here confessing how we are to trust the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He teaches us from the beginning to be stewards, to take good care of the place that he has given us to live, to use the materials that he graciously grants us so that we may give honor to his holy name. Use the metal that we find in the earth. We use the gold and the silver. Yes, and what is it being used for? Lord had directed his people, but he was among them as a holy God. And as a holy God, that they are to really treasure him. So the temple, the tabernacle, and the Ark of the Covenant was cladded with gold. So sad that during that age, so much gold was wasted and spent on making idols and images that are not gods. And here too, you may keep in mind how the Lord tells us through his servant, the Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 2, verse 18 and following, that after the fall into sin, he had let many continue in their hardness of heart and wayward ways. So what do? They exchange the knowledge of the true God and worship the creature, creation itself, rather than God who is holy. People worship the sun. They worship the sun because they think the sun has power and strength in itself. They worship animals or representation of animals, bulls and calves, and because they think they're so lively, so strong. There's something there with them. But they do this in a context of purposely, persistently, insistently denying that there is a God and Creator in heaven. What is the gold and silver used for today? Well, you hear of how people collect old cell phones and televisions and computers because gold can be taken out of them. It's necessary to make the electronics all work. The question is, where's our focus? Where's our heart? Where's our desire? Do we focus on the purpose for which God has created everything, namely the honor and praise of his great and glorious name, that we may rejoice in his righteousness, in his truth? Are we busy doing that? So we might say every Sunday, I believe in God, the Father, Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, but if it does not have a role in our everyday life, it just becomes a joke, doesn't it? And those words become very, very empty. God, the Almighty Creator, he continues to uphold all things. Even in such a way, and again, you may search the history of Old Testament and New Testament scripture, that the counsel of the nations to him are nothing. It is a counsel of the Lord that stands. And his plan to all generations. Indeed, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The Lord did not abandon this creation, but he remains a mighty God who upholds all things. In the beginning, God did not only create the physics, the atoms, he maintains and upholds them. Unless the Lord actively does so, everything would fall apart. And you could say there'd be nothing left. No earth, no sun, no stars, no moon, nothing at all. Only God, God in his greatness and majesty. But God determined to maintain the work of his hands in its full and complete and perfect way, even to the extent and very extreme of sending his own well-beloved Son in the form of our human flesh and blood to become one with us so that along with him, God becomes our Father. Having him as our Father, knowing that he continues to uphold everything in creation, gives us a lot of confidence, doesn't it? Confidence to speak out. He is indeed the mighty God, and let all the rulers and the counselors of the nations keep their mouth shut. May we not say that with boldness, directing them rather to listen to the one true eternal God, the almighty creator of heaven and earth? Do away with all this examining space to find out how it all began. You know. Problem is, you don't want to know. Like again in the letter to the Romans, it is formulated. Even though they could know God because they see his mighty deeds visible in creation, they suppress this knowledge and do not want to know it. Yes, how terrible, how sad. Be careful, therefore, that you are not influenced and drawn aside along with this broken world. Insist. He is the mighty God. He created all things. And therefore, be bold and confident in your faith. For the God who created the fruit trees in the beginning and gave it as food to eat for Adam and Eve, the God who supplied abundant food for his people in the wilderness by way of manna, can he not give you food to eat? Remember how the Lord Jesus reflected and insisted upon the majesty of his Father when in Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, he taught us not to worry concerning what you shall eat or what you shall wear. God who decks the fields with lilies, God who feeds the birds and not one of them fall to the ground without his will. How much more will he take you, O you of little faith? Trust him to be your Father. Yes, even if it is persecution, if men try to take away what the Lord has given to you, trust him. Your Father, he is the mighty God, Christ Jesus. When a whole crowd of people were together in a deserted place, no problem. He gave them enough to eat. Do not worry. You are really privileged to know the Lord God, to know redemption through the blood of his Son, and therefore embrace this knowledge that he continues to take care of each one of you. Beautiful way in which he had spoken, the context of coming persecution, do not worry. Do you not know that the hairs of your head are all counted and not one of them will fall off without your Father knowing it? That is God the Father. Yes, the mighty God. The continuation of all things. And then also the end of all things. The end of all things, namely, that he will perfectly complete that what he began to do. Even though at the beginning of creation the Lord gave allowance, like had already been said, allowance for rebellion and wickedness. And it did happen. Very sad. Lord tested Adam and Eve, and they ate from the forbidden tree. We do not know exactly, because the Lord has not fully revealed to us what happened in heaven among the angels, that an angel and angels with him rebelled against the Lord. This rebellion is certainly reflected and might even be the beginning of the rebellion among the angels when tempting Eve. Did God say, questioning God's word, God's authority, God's majesty, God's might? How terrible it really is. But this Father in heaven gives us the assurance that he really is a father. A father not only in the sense of the originator of all things, but also the father in taking care of everything and bringing them to their completion. End should not be understood in the sense of termination. The end of this world, the end of mankind, but rather the purpose to reach the goal. What is the goal? The honor of the Lord God. And here, we cannot help but think of how the Lord had inspired his servant, the Apostle Paul, to reveal it to us when he spoke about Christ's resurrection and the context emphasizing that indeed there is a resurrection from the dead, that we too may look forward to the glorious return of Christ, the resurrection from the dead, and the life eternal. He speaks about it in this way. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 28. Now, when all things are made subject to him, and note how it is put there, subject to him, submissive to him, no longer rebellious. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who has put all things under him, that God may be all in all. God, all in all, that he receives the honor that is due to his greatness and his majesty as the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. Beloved, look forward to that day and time with great longing. The Lord teaches us through the same apostle to pray for Christ's return, because then it will become fully that way. Wickedness and evil and unrighteousness will be all put away. God's righteousness, his holiness, his perfection will shine forth. Yes, God will receive the honor due to his name. He will be all in all. How beautiful and wonderful that we may know him today as the Father of our Redeemer and Savior. Amen. With thankfulness, we will now sing Psalm 74, the stanzas 2, 8, 10, and 12. Consistory passes on the following announcements, namely that Consistory will meet Monday, tomorrow evening at 7:30 p.m. The home visits for this coming week, the Lord willing, family, are Poshtima Wednesday at 7:30 and family all Wednesday as well at 7:30. We will now unite in thanksgiving prayer. Father who art in heaven, we thank and praise you again that we may know you to be the mighty Father, creator of heaven and earth. Lord, your greatness is unfathomable. We pray you will strengthen us that we may praise and glorify you every day of our life. Indeed, Lord, the nations of this world continue to try to trample us down by the false kind of counsel it gives. Strengthen us that we may put our confidence and trust in your continuing faithfulness, a faithfulness that you have shown and confirmed by sending your own well-beloved Son into this world to die for our sins. Lord, grant that we are bold in the faith, that we are strong, strong in you. Forgive us, O Lord, where we have already failed so often, and too often along with this world have offended you. We pray that you will continue to take care of your churches and people everywhere, that you have bought with the precious blood of your own well-beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, therefore, that you will be with the consistory that meets. Grant that the decisions and deliberations may be pleasing in your sight. Grant that the office bearers may be busy, guiding and directing us in your way and on your paths. We pray, Lord, that you will not only be with office bearers, but also with parents in guiding and directing their children, your covenant people together, to know you, to live to the honor of your holy name, to trust you in the midst of this creation, to be busy with it, to use the materials that you have given in an honorable way, to seek out the glory and praise of your name. Lord, grant that all the modern kind of inventions may be used in that way. The musical instruments, the computer, the telephone, the automobiles, the homes. Grant that everything may be done in submission to you and in honor to you and according to your counsel, according to your instruction, according to your righteousness, according to your holiness. Lord, we thank you that you preserve us in the midst of this world, that you preserve us together with our children to whom you have granted that promise as well. And it is such a rich blessing that you give us the opportunity that we together may have schools to send our children to teach them the wonders of your creation. We give wisdom to the teachers that they may teach that lesson well, that teachers too may stand at awe at your greatness. Yes, grant that we all together, parents, teachers, students, children, stand at awe because you are the mighty God. We pray therefore also for the school association meeting that will be held again. Pray, Lord, that you will grant that there too motivation may be the honor of you. Grant, O Lord, the continuation of this work. Grant that nothing may hinder it. Grant understanding how at times there are efforts through the counsel of this world and of wise-seeming people to cause us to stumble and stray. Grant that we may hold fast to the confession that we make again and again, confessing and trusting you to be the mighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, and that as the mighty Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are busy granting us redemption and salvation. We pray for the school board, for all those involved with the school. Grant, Lord, that this work may continue as well. We are so blessed. You grant, and we may witness it, that your promise carries on from generation to generation and age to age. Grant, Lord, that it may continue on this way. You are the beginning of all things. You are the continuation. You are also the end, the purpose, the goal. Grant, Lord, that we may reach that goal. We can only do so in your strength and through the redeeming work of your Son. Lord, hear us and accept our gratitude in his name. Amen. In conclusion, we will now thank the Lord and praise him for his might and wonder with the words of hymn 80, the stanzas 1, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.